Koch Foods, not related to the conservative Koch brothers' business empire, but a poultry processing plant in Morton, Mississippi, is hosting a job fair today after the largest immigration raid in nearly a decade resulted in hundreds of its workers being detained, many deported. Will they find the workers they need? It's illegal to hire undocumented workers in the U.S., but the poultry industry has been actively recruiting them for years, according to our next guest. Angela Stisi is a cultural anthropologist at UNC Chapel Hill, author of the book Scratching Out a Living, Latinos, Race, and Work in the Deep South. She joins us now, Professor Stisi. Angela, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to start with an anecdote you tell in a very scholarly piece you wrote with Laura Helton. This was in 2013. But as part of your research back then, you were interviewing a worker who had been selling oranges in Florida when he was walking along the road and a van pulled up to him. What did this worker say happened?
Well, he was one of several people that I talked to about that era of sort of how folks got to rural Mississippi. And he and others said that they found advertisements in the local Cuban store or in the local paper. They were working in the orange groves, mostly picking oranges in Florida. And the prospect of indoor work was promising. And so folks who saw this ad, at least those who ended up in Mississippi, responded to it and were recruited by the industry and transported by the poultry, by a particular local poultry plant, to Mississippi, and in some cases started work the very night that they arrived.
Yeah. We'll get more to what that has meant in present-day Mississippi, but let's go back first. When there are these huge raids, we are usually reminded this situation was very different years ago. You write, poultry workers in Mississippi were at one time white women.
That's right. So the poultry industry in the South and in central Mississippi in particular got started in the 1930s and really ramped up, transformed from sort of a backyard endeavor in which people were raising chickens for consumption and selling what they could into a factory setting during World War II and following World War II. And it was generally working class white women who staffed those lines.
Because as one of those women told you, up until something like the 1960s, most Mississippi chicken plants would not hire African Americans.
That's right. That's right. And it was actually part of the civil rights movement. Following gains in voting rights and civil rights, folks' attention shifted to economic rights and African American folks who were still largely working on sharecropping on land in the area were pushing for the prospect of better work, and chicken processing represented that opportunity to them.
Well, even though it's considered one of the worst jobs in America.
This is true.
Yeah. Well, but there was another factor that you write about that was fascinating, something called the Balance Agriculture with Industry Plan, in which they subsidized factory-based industries to get them to come into the state. And this really hurt the African Americans because they couldn't be hired in those more upscale factories. So they were almost driven to the chicken factories.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's part of the historical research that Laura Helton and I did, was sort of unearthing the archives that showed that the Balance Agriculture with Industry Plan both pumped a lot of money into the local efforts to attract industry to the state of Mississippi. But yes, many of those were closed to African American workers. And it wasn't until the 60s, in some cases even the early 70s, that Black workers gained access to the chicken plants.
And then what happened? I mean, we just heard one anecdote about employers recruiting workers in Florida, but how did it shift to a largely Hispanic worker base?
Well, I think before that shift, it's maybe important to note that within weeks of beginning to hire Black workers, almost all the white women workers left the chicken plants. And so there was a dramatic shift in the late 60s and early 70s from a workforce of white women to a workforce of Black women and men. And that continued through the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. And those workers gradually, you know, were trying to organize for better wages and working conditions. The industry was also expanding. Americans were eating a lot more chicken, sort of heart-healthy diet. So the plants went from one shift a day to two shifts a day, and then to three shifts, running 24 hours a day. And they were looking, so they were expanding and needing more workers. They were initially recruiting from nearby counties and even as far away as Alabama. And when this wasn't enough, and when workers succeeded in establishing unions and the chicken plants were faced with negotiating with those workers, the idea of looking further afield to South Florida emerged as a solution to that problem.
Well, so you have in the mid-90s whole southern communities being changed, over 500,000 Hispanics moving to the South in that decade, 500,000 in one decade, fastest growing Latino population in the country at the turn of the millennium, 2000. It grew by 1,000% in the 1990s in Mississippi. It's now, as you say, some are calling it Nuevo South, the New South. When you spoke to all these workers, what's your sense? Because you spoke to African-American workers as well. We saw in the pictures of the raids, there are still African-American workers, holding on to and sobbing with their Hispanic colleagues as people were taken away from these plants. What's the sense in these communities of these workers?
I think early on, folks thought that immigrants were transient and were going to come and go, and that it was sort of a temporary thing. And 25 years in, they're very much a part of the social fabric of communities and of workplaces. And you're right, they're working right alongside a longstanding and disenfranchised African-American workforce. And a lot of the work over the last few decades has been to try to help folks build bridges across differences of race and cultural background to be able to organize for better wages and working conditions in the plants.
Yeah. Well, and there's a pattern of some of the first African Americans to integrate a company, Southeastern Poultry, that you write about. They told you that whites who were trying to unionize or organize for better working conditions, they had a walkout, and that's when the blacks were called in. The African Americans then pushed during the civil rights era for better working conditions, and that's when the Hispanics come in. Who comes in now?
That's an excellent question. I think we can demonize the industry or the employers for seeking out a more flexible and more exploitable class of workers, but I also think employers are held accountable to their shareholders and are required, by law to do their best to produce profit for shareholders. And I think as long as the advanced capitalist economy holds corporations accountable to owners and shareholders instead of to the folks who work for them or the communities in which they live, we're going to see them constantly in this race to the bottom. I am trying to encourage folks to think beyond, is it the employers or the workers who are causing this problem, and recognize that, in fact, our entire economic system is pushing the employment of undocumented people. And, structures of global inequality are pushing folks to migrate. Mm. In other parts of the South, I have heard of poultry plants starting to recruit refugees from the Marshall Islands, from other parts of the world. And in a couple of cases, I have read, although I haven't seen myself, that chicken plants are relying on incarcerated labor, which is sort of the epitome of an unfree workforce, right? And sort of brings us back to the unfree labor of the South prior to the Civil War in some ways.
Huh. Angela Cici, cultural anthropologist at UNC Chapel Hill, author of the book Scratching Out a Living, Latinos, Race, and Work in the Deep South, and other scholarly tracts on the workforce in the South. Professor Cici, Angela, thank you so much.
Thank you for making space for these ideas. Important stories to tell.
Thanks. Well, back to Mississippi and that raid on chicken processing plants there. Over 680 workers arrested, many deported. So far, there have been no charges against the five companies which own the seven plants raided, although federal investigators say that could change as an investigation is ongoing. And according to WREG-TV in Memphis, unsealed court documents reveal that six of the seven plants not only employed people who lacked authorization to work in the U.S., some workers were wearing monitoring bracelets at work because of previous immigration violations. That's how federal investigators found them. Employers have largely avoided criminal charges because it's hard to prove they knew workers were illegal. Those bracelets may show employers knew. At the Koch Foods job fair today, applicants are being asked to bring two forms of ID.